Holy Spirit, illumine for us this word, that the message of the gospel may come to us in power.
Amen. Amen.
The scripture lesson for today is from Matthew 22. It's a part of a larger story. We only have six verses, but in fact, they are part of a larger story. Jesus has once again encountered a part of the religious establishment of the Jewish people. We see that the first verse tells us that he has silenced the Sadducees. Now, the Sadducees were a particular branch of Judaism. There were many of these various branches in the first century Judaism. Now, we can understand that because Christianity in the 21st century has various branches where the beliefs are not exactly the same and we have different positions and postures on various issues. So it was with the Sadducees. They were one of the branches of Judaism in the first century. Another branch was the Pharisees, and we will see that he has just encountered the Sadducees and has, as the scripture says, has silenced them. And now the Pharisees are going to take him on. And we see that in our translation, Jesus' questioner is described as being an expert in the law. Some translations name the questioner as a lawyer. This is not the kind of lawyer that we usually think of who handles civic things. This is actually a religious lawyer. By the time of the first century, which is Jesus' era, the Jewish law, which began as Ten Commandments, an ethical system based on Ten Commandments, has over the years expanded until there are now 613 various parts. Now, you know, folks like you and me could hardly keep up with 613 various parts of the law that we were expected to know. So it was necessary then for some persons to function as lawyers, as religious lawyers, or as experts. And it's one of these religious experts out of the Pharisees that is going to be questioning Jesus. He's going to ask him a trick question. What he's going to ask him is, which among the 313 various parts of the law is the most important? Now, the questioner is sure that no matter what Jesus answers, that it's going to be kind of like a, aha, I got you moment. But Jesus does something which makes this passage very precious for us. He summarizes what it is that God wants of us, what it is that God expects of us, and he summarizes the entire Jewish law in two phrases. One is to love God, the other is to love each other. So let's hear this scripture together. When the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together, and one of them, an expert in the law, asked him a question to test him. Teacher, which commandment in the law is the greatest? And he said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind. This is the greatest and first commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Now let's take a quick review of the Ten Commandments. The first four have to do with our relationship with God. You shall have no other gods except God with a capital G. You shall have no idols. And we are as tempted in the 21st century to idolatry as ancient peoples were. We are not to misuse God's name. We are to speak God's name with respect. And we are to keep the Sabbath. We are to have a break from our regular activities to rest, to worship, to nurture our relationships. Maybe this will be on Sunday for some of us, or maybe some of us will have to find other times during the week, but we do it not only because God has told us to do it, but because it's good for us. And it's because it's a sign of our dependence and our faith in the providence of God. So, these have to do with what Jesus summarizes as the greatest and the first of the law, and that is to love God with everything we can muster up, to love God with our heart and our soul and our mind, and to dedicate all the love that we can to the adoration of Almighty God. But you know, sometimes it's hard to love a God that we cannot see, a God who seems distant and maybe abstract. So God gives us a way to love God's own self, and that's through the loving of other people. The final six commandments have to do with our love for one another. Let's take a quick look at those. Honor your parents, and that can extend to say honor old people. Don't murder. Honor your marriage vows. Don't steal. Don't lie. Do not envy. What kind of a world would this be if every one of us were able to keep every single one of these each day? Would be a different kind of world, wouldn't it? God knew the things which make up good relationships among people, and he gave them to us in 10 commandments. And note that these are not the 10 suggestions, these are the 10 commandments. So really, Jesus summarizes this by saying, love God with everything you've got, and love your neighbor as what?
Yourself.
As yourself. You know, when someone says to me, oh, that person really loves themselves, what's your first response? My first response is, ooh, I don't think I want to have coffee with that person. We think that person must be really selfish. They must be absolutely centered on themselves, and indeed, that does not make a very attractive package. We don't really want to be around people like that very much, do we? And yet, Jesus says, love your neighbor as you love yourself. I think Jesus knows us very well, and he knows that it is not possible for us to love each other in a healthy, appropriate way unless we first of all have a healthy, appropriate, wholesome respect for ourselves. And when we love and respect ourselves properly, then we are able to love and respect other people. Now, how does this work? Why should we love ourselves? There are, of course, various things that we can do which will generate self-respect and will generate self-esteem and so forth. But for the Christian, that is not the ticket. Those things may be important to us, but you know, the reality is for each of us every day that we do things we regret. We do things that we are aware are not the best that we know. We do things that we know do not honor God. How do we love ourselves then? As Christians, we love ourselves because we have been loved first. We love ourselves because God has been absolutely passionate about us and has created us, regardless of what we look like, regardless of what we've done, regardless of where we're going. God created us in the image of God's own self. And God has been so passionate about us that God came among us in the person of Jesus Christ, took on human form, lived a human life, and through Jesus Christ experienced personally everything that you and I experience as human beings, and loved us so deeply, so completely, so thoroughly, so profoundly, that God was willing, through the person of Jesus Christ, to even experience death in order that we might have life and have it abundantly. You are lovable. You are valuable. Regardless of what you've done, regardless of what you've left undone, you are loved and valuable because God has pronounced you lovable and valuable and has created you in God's own image. So, for us as Christian people, the basis of our appropriate love for ourselves comes not because we have earned it, not because we have done anything to merit it, not because we've done anything to make us lovable, but because God has loved us first. And because of that, we are able to love other people. You know, I was thinking about that. How does that work in my own life? I have to tell you that there are times when I'm not feeling very lovable or loved, or I feel like I'm not being paid enough attention to, or my self-esteem is low. And in those times, I am a hard person to be around. Just ask my kids. And in those times, I'm constitutionally impossible for me to love anybody else. I just cannot be kind and generous and thoughtful to other persons because I am so balled up in my own misery that I just can't crank out anything better for anybody else. The only one who could stand to be around me in those times is my dog. And even she wasn't sure about it. Do you know what I'm talking about? Have you had times like this? Have you ever experienced anything like this? Now, the other side of that is when I know that I am loved and cared for, when my relationship with God, when I've paid attention to my relationship with God, when I've paid attention to my relationship with people who are important to me, then I feel confident and good and surrounded and secure in the love that God has given me. And I am convinced that I am lovable and that I can be infinitely patient. I can be endlessly generous and kind and thoughtful. The little foibles that really hook me and get me angry when I'm not in such a good way, they just kind of roll over me and I just say, well, that's just so-and-so, you fill in the blank. Do you not find that true for yourself as well? When you remember and are convinced of your own worth and lovableness, and you know you are loved. You see, for us as Christians, there doesn't ever have to be a time when we don't know ourselves to be loved, because Almighty God, the infinite God, the unknowable God who has created all that is and has flung the stars in place, has deigned to love even us deeply and passionately and thoroughly and profoundly. So, love God with everything you've got, and let some of that love be expressed in the way that we love each other. And know that it is connected with loving ourselves and respecting ourselves, because God has pronounced us worthy and lovable. Now, is it okay to love yourself? It's absolutely essential. Will you pray with me? Dear Creator God, we sit in this holy place and breathe deeply. Even as the oxygen nourishes our bodies, so the presence of the Holy Spirit nourishes our souls. And with each breath we take, we begin to remember that like the air that surrounds us, your love also surrounds us. And it's there all the time, even when we are not aware of it, even when we forget. And with each breath we take, may we remember how truly precious we are to you, in spite of everything, in spite of all we've done, in spite of all that we've thought and said, that you love us yet, and that you do not give up on us, and that you have hope for us, and that you count us as your precious children. Help us to know that deeply, so that we are not only able to return love to you, but to love each other in appropriate and healthy ways. How grateful we are to you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, for the depth of your love, which we cannot know, but can only imagine. How grateful we are to you that you have taught us how to love you through loving each other. Help us to be ever more loving. May it be so. Amen.